Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International and simulcast on Sirius FM. Now, an emotion that many of us experience, sometimes we tell each other we need to suppress this. When we are in this particular state, other people get afraid because they don't know how we'll react. And often, when we are in this state, we don't know how we will react. This volatile emotion that I'm talking about is anger. Anger in an adult, when an adult doesn't know how to deal with a certain situation, and you say things that you often regret, you say things that to hurt another person, but at the end of the day, all you're doing is hurting yourself. Very difficult for us as adults also to control our anger. As much as we would try to, we do end up saying lots of venomous things and hurting people. Often very difficult to remedy the relationship, and you know, easy to ask for forgiveness, but sometimes people do not forget the words that we say to hurt them. When we're in a rational state, obviously, we tend to react to situations better. But like we said, as an adult, we will be faced with situations that is going to trigger this emotion of anger. And as much as it is difficult for us as adults, can you imagine what it's like for children and teenagers, more so for young children who experience such great emotions of anger? How do they deal with it? They're not equipped psychologically to understand where this emotion is coming from and how to calm themselves down. When it comes to teenagers who are aggressive and very angry, very difficult period for them as well to express the cause of their anger, the root of their anger, and more so difficult for the parents and educators, family members and caregivers. How do I deal with this aggressive, frustrated child? So inshallah, today we're talking about calming your child or teenager's anger. And in studio with me today, I have Sister Rehana Adam, who is a senior counselor at Islamic Helpline in Indonesia. I also have Sister Tasneem Jindar, who is a psychologist and presenter of At-Fikriyat on Radio Islam International every Tuesday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be here, Sister Bibi Aisha.
Jazakum Allah khairan, Sister Tasneem. Always a pleasure having you ladies with me in studio. Okay, we talk about anger. We are human beings. We can't be happy all the time. There are things that are going to really, really work on our nerves. But as adults, we need to control how we behave when we are angry, because we always say little eyes are looking, little ears are listening. What can we do to assist our listeners that are dealing with a very angry toddler, or dealing with a very angry young child, or a very aggressive teenager? So I think first let's get to the root of it. What is anger? What does this mean?
Okay, I think we first need to sit down, introspect, and ponder, and think about ourselves before we can even deal with our kids. It's, you know, من عرف نفسه عرف ربه. They who know themselves, truly they know their Lord. So we actually need to think, why are we so angry? I mean, just flip through your Twitter feed and you'll see all the anger out there on social media.
Mm.
We are a very angry ummah. Anger is one emotion that's been given a very bad connotation. Anger is often seen as uncritically as an inherently bad thing to feel. And mm-hmm. I think this is how we've been socialized, this is how we've been brought up. And I think today what we really want to do is to take, you know, to look at this complexities of this very important emotion. And there's a lot of anger. Many of us are angry. You know, just go on, like I said, go onto Twitter, go onto Facebook, and you'll see all the anger. People mm-hmm. are complaining and venting, whether it's Islamophobia or it's about the government. We're always complaining. And there's a lot of anger on social media. Some justified and some maybe not so justified.
But now we're talking about our children. You know, like we said, we are an angry generation. We don't know how to suppress the anger. We've always been brought up that you can't be angry. Just take whatever is here. We sometimes don't sit down with the person that's angry. Or we're talking now more so with children, let's say a teenager or a young child, and try and understand, where is this anger coming from? Because truth be told, anger is an emotion. We are human beings, but it's also a secondary emotion. It's the cause of something else. There's something that is not being met, and hence this anger is coming out. Do you agree, Sister Rehana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think it's important, Bibi Aisha, to start by saying that anger in itself is a normal and healthy emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure many people are wondering, what am I talking about?
Mm.
But it's a normal, healthy emotion when expressed in socially appropriate ways.
Yes.
So, it's not, you know, for example, it's wrong for you to say to your child, why are you angry? You have no right to be angry.
Mm.
it's a normal emotion like every other emotion. Allah has made us emotional human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what we do when we're angry. That's where the trouble comes. And always, as you mentioned, anger is the underlying cause for that anger.
Mm.
It's coming from somewhere. Some frustration, some feeling of helplessness, or some feeling of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find out how and why we can help the little child or the teenager through that.
So there's obviously different triggers. I mean, if we go through the triggers, you know, the first and foremost one would be when you're angry, it's obviously that a need is not being met, or you feel that, you know, you're not accepted right now. It could be secondary emotion to maybe being bullied at school or at home. For a child, maybe you feel insecure, maybe, you know, when another child is born, another sibling is there, or something that's happened in the house, you know, like a move or a loved one being ill, such as me.
Bibi Aisha, I know, alhamdulillah, I've been blessed with 4 children, and
alhamdulillah,
you know, they are each so unique, and each one comes with their own temperament, their own personality. And just thinking about the toddler, 2-3-year-old baby, if his ice cream drops, he's going to have a fit.
Yes.
And that is totally normal, yes, healthy, and acceptable, and part of his development and growth.
Exactly.
When we're looking at a 30-year-old, when she doesn't get what she wants, or she doesn't want, you know, her husband refuses to buy that expensive pair of shoes, and she has a fit, that is not so normal.
Exactly.
So we get a chronological age of 30, and sometimes we're stuck on a developmental or emotional age of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it all, like you said, it boils down to unmet emotional needs from a very, very early on and during those critical developmental periods. But alhamdulillah, I think Sister Diana will also agree with me, having worked in the field of mental health for a number of years, alhamdulillah, I think we've been seeing some alarming trends developing among our children, and no generation has ever had it as good as today's generation.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah, you know, I mean, everything is on tap. There's an abundance of resources available for them to play and relax, you know,
yes,
for relaxation, for entertainment.
Yes.
We're shipping them off from one extramural to another extramural. Alhamdulillah, us as parents, stats have shown that we're wealthier than we've ever been.
Most definitely.
You know, the growing of the middle class generation. So, alhamdulillah, what is the problem? We really need to see. So, I think it really boils down to our parenting skills.
If we look at ourselves, like, think to yourself, sisters, when you are angry, what happens to yourself? Your heart starts racing. You have this rage within you. There's this heat inside of you. I mean, I'm sure someone, when you look at somebody who's angry, you can see they're flustered. You know, the complexion's gone red. And this person is out of balance. This person is not thinking what they're saying. They're blurting out things that they're going to regret later. And I know, you know, obviously growing up, we've always been taught that when someone is angry, go next to them, calm them down, tell them the first thing to say is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Give them some water. Tell them to calm down. Take them to a place that's relaxed. Now we're talking about adults now. So again, now with children, like you say, for a toddler to throw a tantrum if somebody takes away his ice cream, that's normal. That's his. He doesn't know how to express himself. He doesn't know how to deal with this new emotion. Now with a teenager, for a teenager now who is angry and, you know, he's venting or she's venting and they start throwing things at you and hurling insults and vulgar language at you, that is not acceptable. And we have loads of parents and even educators who are banging their heads against the wall saying, what do I do with this child? Because this child is constantly angry. So I think what we need to discuss now is to even, you know, to give guidelines to our parents that what are the things to look for? What could be triggering, you know, your child's anger? So maybe if we can look at, you know, how should parents deal with a young child who is angry? What do you think would be the cause of this? Sister Rihanna.
Vivasha, there could be many causes.
Mm-hmm.
It has been said that with little ones, now we are talking about little ones, we'll talk about teenagers later.
Yes.
A child even gets angry when they're tired or hungry or overstimulated,
yes,
and today we know how we are overstimulating our children.
Yes.
When a child, our best, many parents are guilty of this, where they use the tablet or they use a TV,
mm-hmm,
as a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you place a child in front of something like that for a few hours, mm-hmm, the child is overstimulated. You and I, growing up, we played outside.
Yes.
Today, if our children are playing outside, we are scared somebody's going to kidnap them, somebody's going to hurt them. So it's a different environment in which we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you think about it, this is the instant gratification generation.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So you press a button on a computer and you press enter and you get what you want. So Children have been brought up to understand that everything comes at full speed and immediately. As you know and I know that that is not the reality of life.
But then there's also the reality, which is also the truth, that, you know what, there are triggers within the child's environment that is going to make a child angry. Like we said, you know, maybe the birth of another sibling, maybe moving house, stress at school or madrasa, not having the ability to accomplish something, and this child doesn't know how to tell the parent that I can't do this, because the child obviously wants to please the parent and wants the parent's approval, and this child is venting now in anger, being bullied.
Yes.
The child could be being, you know, bullied. When the child feels insecure and they don't know how to speak, you know, feeling words, positive emotions, like I'm not feeling good, because the child feels, okay, easier way to get their attention, let me throw a tantrum. Let them tell me to do my homework and I start back chatting. Let's say my parents give me a chore and then I go down on the ground and I bang my hands and my head and I again throw a tantrum if I'm in public, start screaming and people will look at me, and in that way I'm getting attention, but they don't realize that this attention is negative. Do you agree? Is it just me?
I think 100%. And like you said, these are normal ways of developing. And, you know, like you said, there's different ways of children getting angry. For example, seeing other members arguing or being angry, especially during marital episodes where, you know, things are not as peaceful in the home. Friendship problems. And we see that in frenemies, where the young girls between ages 10 and 15 being bullied, like you said, struggling with schoolwork, where they just can't grasp the certain concepts, that can also make them angry. This can trigger off all kinds of emotions. Feeling very stressed, anxious or fearful about something can also be a cause to be angry, because the bottom line emotion of fear is actually sadness, and you know, this develops into anger.
Yes.
Coping with hormonal changes during puberty is also something that they don't understand, and you know, their body's going through all these different changes, so it may not be obvious to you or your child why they're feeling angry. If that's the case, it's important to help them work out what might be causing the anger. And I think firstly is to talk to them. Communication is key. Tackling anger together. You need to team up with your child to help them deal with anger. This way you let your child know that the anger is the problem and not them. So you hate the behavior, but you don't hate the child.
Yes.
You know, and this is extremely important. And this can be, you know, with younger children, it can be fun, it can be creative. It's important for your child to feel bored at times. You know, our children, we don't ever give them a chance to be bored, because we're always sticking, like Sister Rihanna said, just stick their tablet into their hand and then they quiet or they occupy for the next hour or so. But they're actually drugged in a state of, you know, if you put them on a monitor, you'll see their brain waves are in a state of an addiction.
And then also, it's like you said, it's very important to teach them feeling words, emotions,
100%.
Like I'm angry because what is making you angry, and they should tell you what it is. And you know, as adults, we obviously think, oh, this is so trivial. I mean, really, but you know, to this child, it's not trivial. It's something very, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Before we carry on, what does the Quran and Hadith say about anger, Sister Tasneem?
Like you mentioned earlier, the anger management techniques that we've all learned growing up, those are actually from the Sharia, and with regards to the Hadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something to the effect that when you are angry, it's actually shaitan running through your veins. That heat that you feel is from the fire. Shaitan is made up of fire, so that's why we feel that palpitation, that heat, you know, rushing to your brains. That is why the Sharia and the Sunnah advise us to drink water, to try and calm that flames within you. Drink water if you're shifting energy. So if you're sitting down, stand up. If you're standing, lay down. Remove yourself from that room, because there's a lot of negative energy around there. So rather get out, you know, step out into nature, calm yourself, feel grounded. All these things we need to teach our children from a very, very young age. Make wudu, have ghusl, go for a swim.
Cool you off.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Alhamdulillah.
Mr. Diana, do you want to add to that? With regards to the Sunnah and the Quran says about anger.
You'll never find a person who's angry, you know, physically. They will never tell you they're feeling cold. Because the blood is pumping, and it's measured. It's because it's the fire in you. And that's the shaitan. And when shaitan is in control, you got to fight shaitan, otherwise you will say things and you will react in ways in which you will regret later. So that is what we've got to show our children, that look, it's not wrong for you to be angry. I understand that you're angry about something, but there are ways in which to express your anger without hurting anyone or hurting yourself in the long run.
Most definitely. And then, like we said, after the break, inshallah, we'll be talking about coping with angry teenagers. But one more thing when it comes to little children, the importance of reassuring the child that, okay, I know you're angry right now, but it's going to be okay. You're going to feel better. And it's just for this moment, this is what's going on. And like you said, you know, relaxation techniques, teaching them to breathe. Mm. Simple thing I would imagine is breathing, you know, Allahu Akbar. So making zikr, so little children mm-hmm. can do that as well. As they grow up, their foundation is laid. That the minute you feel angry, you know, make zikr, take a deep breath. Like you said, move away from that environment. Okay, I know often this happens, you know, when sometimes when families are going out shopping, and the toy section mm-hmm. or the sweets and chocolates and candy section, and often, you know, when we go shopping and you see these children throwing tantrums there, and then you see parents stepping aside, and this child will scream and whatever, and then I think when the parent feels that the child is calming down, the parent goes back, because I mean the hardest thing I would imagine to just scream, like you mm-hmm. said, you're a mom of four, would be to be trying to carry a screaming teenager who's going to embarrass you throughout the entire supermarket and probably hit you and throw things at you. I'm sure that will be something you probably experience.
Definitely. And Sister Bibi Aisha, you know, this is the thing with children. Children that age are highly manipulative. As cute and loving and affectionate as they are, they're highly manipulative. This is the part of their development and they part of their learning, their identity and their sense of self and all of that. So they will try to find the best opportunity to throw their tantrum, and it's normally in the middle of a shopping aisle when they are hundreds of people watching you,
yes,
and judging you.
Yes.
But the best,
yes,
thing to do is to wait it out. Let them have their fit, because it's important to release that energy, and that's the only way it's going to be released. If you're going to succumb to their tantrums and hand them that piece of chocolate or that toy that they're demanding, the next tantrum is even going to be louder, more aggressive, and worse than this one.
And like you say, they manipulate us. I'm sure a lot of temper tantrums take place in front of Nana, Nani, Dada, Dada.
They know who to play.
They
know exactly who to play.
Okay, we're going to break for eggs. Inshallah, we're going to continue afterwards. Please do call us on 011-854-1548 if you want to share your views with us on this discussion. Inshallah, we will be back shortly. Jazakallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back onto Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha, here on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. This morning, we're talking about calming your angry child or teenager. Before the break, we were talking about what the Quran and Hadith has to say regarding anger. And we also spoke at length about calming young children who throw temper tantrums. Now, when it comes to pacifying teenagers, it's not that simple. Teenagers, obviously, are going through so many emotions. They're going through puberty, there's peer pressure, there's social pressure, they're obviously more likely to be violent towards you, aggressive towards you, they think they have a mind of their own, and they know what's best for them. It's obviously very, very difficult. You know, something, ladies, that I'd like to bring to light, which is also very, very disturbing, but it is something that is going through in our communities right now. As a motivational speaker, we get to see a lot of it, we get to speak to children that's going through with this, and it's shocking. I don't know if parents are aware, but this is a new trick, I should say, that a lot of teenage girls have learned when it comes to getting attention and, you know, trying to find ways of dealing with their anger. It's called slashing. So they're not actually committing suicide or trying to slit their wrists. They take a blade or they take something sharp and they do obviously cut themselves on their wrist, not close to the vein, but on their wrist or on their body. Often lay on the bed in that all dramatic Cinderella way. Obviously, mommy or daddy will come in the room, see blood all over, and, you know, panic and wonder, what is wrong with my child? Very often, it has been happening, whether we are we could be in denial, but the truth is, it is happening. And then parents don't realize that you are getting manipulated by your child, by this child doing this. They obviously want your attention. There's something much more deeper going on down there. So, ladies on the panel, also a form of venting, a form of showing anger. What are your thoughts?
You know, Vivesha, we're getting a lot of this at Islamic Helpline.
Yes.
Many of the teenagers come to me, and it's a lot about, it's like a cry for help.
Definitely.
Basically, they're not really, as you say, they're not trying to commit suicide. No way near that. They are trying to show you they are hurting. So the important thing is to get, if you as a parent feel overwhelmed by this, obviously you will be shocked the day you see it, because it looks terrible.
Yes.
And what you need to do is get professional help for that child. Because if you feel you cannot handle it, most likely your child will not open up to you or will be afraid to tell you what is the problem. It usually has to do sometimes with relationships with other people.
Yes.
Peer pressure, all kinds of pressure. Sometimes it's to do with low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get professional help. You need to get a child for counseling.
Also getting just getting their parents' attention.
Possible. Maybe they're feeling sidelined.
Yes.
Depending, sometimes it's a middle child syndrome.
Yes.
There is something going on there, and know it this way, that it's a sign that this child needs help.
And like we say, you know, it's another way of expressing anger. It's not the tantrums, it's not throwing things, not getting violent towards another person, it's getting violent towards yourself. Sister Tismian?
Like we spoke about earlier, Sister Bibasha, the bottom line feeling of anger is actually sadness. So this is a representation or manifestation, rather, of a deep emotional unmet need relating to that sadness, that pain that that particular child is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And hence they manifest it in a physical way by slashing or cutting. And I think this is so important that we speak about this on this platform, because there's a crisis in children's mental health at the moment.
Yes.
More than, you know, what most people suspect. And sometimes we are in denial, but it's good to look at stats, and stats don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, in South Africa, 9% of all teenage deaths are due to suicide. That is shocking statistic, 9%. And between the ages of 15 and 24, suicide is the second most leading, fastest growing cause of death in teenagers today. Children as young as 7 have committed suicide. Subhanallah. So it is known that depression is the cause of suicide. And this, like Sister Rihanna said, is a direct cry for help that needs professional assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, many times we become overwhelmed as parents and we don't know how to address it. And you might make the situation worse by overreacting, because you yourself might need counseling at that moment, dealing with this very difficult experience, you know.
And I think we've also come to this age because, you know, we're living in a time where there is help out there. You are not restricted. There is help out there. I think first and foremost, you know, if parents are going through this with their adolescents, forget what people think. You are not living to please people. You are living to please your Creator. You are living to please Allah. This child is an amanah to you. You are answerable for the upbringing of this child. So I think the first thing that parents need to realize is that if something like this is going on, you need to get help. And like you say, this is outside help. Obviously, tell your family members, but they're not going to be professionally equipped to deal with something like this. So there's no stigma attached to going to see a psychologist, going to see a psychiatrist if need be, putting your child on medication, getting them counseling, speaking to a doctor. Because at the end of the day, your interest has to be in the well-being of this child. Because if it's going to be left unattended, we pray to Allah that it doesn't end up in a suicide.
We live in a very fast-paced world. Thanks to social media, or rather no thanks to social media, we live in a world that, you know, seeks perfection.
Yes.
And you just put a filter on it and your life looks so perfect.
Yes.
And there's lots of pressures attached to this, especially with teenagers. Viewing the world through these lenses leads to a lot of anxiety, leads to a lot of stress. And in fact, calls to the counseling service Childline about exam stress has actually tripled in the last few years.
Yes, most definitely.
In fact, admission to hospital as a result of self-harm have doubled in the last 4 years. So doctors, medical staffs have been seeing these kinds of things.
Like we say, that's another trigger. That sometimes we forget that maybe our expectations for our children to perform well in the exams, obviously which parent wouldn't want their child to succeed.
Yeah.
But when your expectations are a bit unrealistic, that pressure on your child, like you say, can lead to anxiety and, again, also aggression, where they don't know how to deal, they don't know how to cope, and then they become disappointed in themselves. Again, also, we can't forget other factors that they can be, that can trigger anger within them. The obvious being substance abuse.
Definitely.
Substance abuse, bullying, peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, not fitting in, low self-esteem. Sister Rihanna, what would you like to add to that? Remember, we talk about teenagers now.
Teenagers could also be relationships.
Yes.
That is a time when the hormones have kicked in. And, you know, as much as we as parents wouldn't like to think about it, they have certain emotions which they are not sure what to do with. So that also could lead to, you know, them feeling upset and trying to hurt themselves or trying to show you that they're hurting about something.
And also having fitting in, you know, in that group, like, am I pretty enough? Am I thin enough? Is my hair like this? Is my complexion like this?
Mm.
Which again, you know, we forget that, you know, Allah created you perfectly.
Yes, but look at the media, what it does. I mean, you never see anything advertised with a woman that's supposedly not good looking in their eyes. So every one of our girls want to be thin and pretty like that girl. And like that model who's like skinny.
And they have that misconception about beauty. Yes.
We have a lot of problems with bulimia.
Yes, and anorexia.
Because
exactly.
of all these misconceptions.
True. And even with boys, you know, also, I mean, there's also this thing about fitting in. I need to be part of this group. I may not be, you know, the best on the soccer team, or academically I'm not performing this way. I could be disappointing my parents. I don't know about clashing so much with boys, because I haven't experienced that. Like, I haven't met any teenagers in that yet, but I'm sure it's also there.
It is not as common as the girls, but
yes.
you do have.
But I think with boys, you know, when they very angry, obviously they show it more through being aggressive.
Aggressive, that's right. Yes.
So beating maybe the sibling, beating somebody at school.
Mm-hmm. Punching walls, doors.
Sometimes also taking out that anger and that physical aggression on their parents, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times I advise teenage boys to take up boxing or martial arts, because this teaches them the discipline of the sport and yet getting out their frustration. Sports is a great way for them to deal with this, both in aggression and stress that they're feeling. It also gives them that, you know, that high self-esteem that they need. It builds their confidence. So sports is a great way to get both boys and girls involved in, inshallah.
Ameen. So, Mami, Ya Rabbil Alameen, again, we have to always go back to the root of all of this when we talk about the importance of communicating with your child. Sure. Whether it's a tantrum thrown by a toddler, or whether it's a tantrum in another way thrown by your teenager.
And like we said in the beginning, Bibasha, we are a nation of so much. You know, we have so much. We have so much in everything, in education. We have an abundance of wealth, alhamdulillah. But never have we seen a more unhappier generation ummah. And I know this because I've seen it. I see more children dealing with anxiety, more children struggling to meet basic demands at school, more children unable to build and sustain relationships. We don't have social skills anymore. Thanks to social media, you know, we have more allergies, more dissatisfaction, more boredom, more children being diagnosed with ADHD. So what exactly is going on? Where have we gone wrong?
I think that's support to parents. You know, I mean, obviously, if you a parent, it's the hardest job in the world. Hence, they say Jannah is under the foot of the mother. And obviously, you know, Jannah for making khidmat of your parents. I mean, the job, the responsibilities that Allah has given to parents. It's a very big one, and parents do get frustrated. I'm sure often parents would say, what am I doing wrong? What did I do wrong so this child is angry all the time, or this child is so problematic? So offering support to parents.
I think most importantly, we need to learn from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we believe ourselves to be the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we must also be aware of the fact that he never ever hit his wife or his servants or his children, no matter what the circumstances were. He never ever resorted to violence. You know, perhaps this in itself goes to show how beating only festers the problem rather than rectifying it.
Yes.
So, alhamdulillah, we need to understand the problem, finding the root of the problem, getting to those unmet needs, investigate why your child is acting out instead of irrationally responding to the child's behavior being displayed at that point. For instance, if you walk into your room and you see the child slashing her wrists or slashing. And sometimes what parents need to be doing, we need to be so in tune with our children, because sometimes they don't do it on their wrists, they slash themselves on their thighs or areas of their bodies that don't necessarily get exposed. So be in tune with your child, know their moods, know their, you know, their temperaments, their personalities, and most importantly, begin with yourself. We cannot expect our children to illustrate any sort of restraint and self-control if we as parents do not do the same. You know, like you said, children learn by seeing. They learn, they visual learners. They do as we do. They don't do as we say anymore. They're not the nation of, you know, the generation of auditory learners. So gone are those days. So acting out in anger will not resolve anything.
No,
so
definitely.
We need to be mostly calm. I think this is a learned skill that we need to develop. There's no such thing as women are emotional and we need to throw a tantrum while our child is throwing a tantrum, because by doing so, we're just adding to the problem.
Exactly. And then when you are angry, you know, try and just step back.
And we need
and
to also
think outside the box, because that time you're actually reacting because you're emotional and you're saying things that are not...
And practice what you preach. I mean, we teach our children all these wonderful things, but how much of that do we actually practice and emulate in ourselves, you know?
Exactly. So, Siriana, would you like to add on to that?
I love what Taslima to say. It's absolutely true. It's no use If your child is angry, you are screaming louder than your child. I mean, that's what we do. Let's face it.
We do. And at the end of the day, both of you are switching off.
So everyone's screaming, and the only person who's getting the full picture is the neighbor. You haven't solved anything. What I would suggest that parents become anger detectives. I know this sounds crazy, but we are detectives in everything, aren't we?
Yes.
So what we need to do is try and find out why our child is feeling this way. So the first thing to do is to remain calm. When your child is screaming, you don't scream back. You remain calm and you try and calm your child down. You say to your child, for example, I understand you're angry. You're obviously hurting about something.
Yes.
If you feel you are too angry to talk right now, can we both, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to do, can we both just take a break? And then when you're feeling calmer and cooler, maybe you want to take a shower, or maybe you want to go and make wudu, or you want to read 2 rakat salah or whatever. And then we will talk about what's making you so angry, because I love you, I care about you, and I'm hurting that you're feeling this way. So I want to help you. I'm here to help you. So you need to understand that if you're angry, we cannot get anywhere with it. So anger, even as adults, if you're going to think that this behavior you're going to carry forward into your adult relationships, that's where lots of the marriages have problems, because when one person is shouting, the other one's shouting, you're not solving anything. So the first thing is to, as the same point out, remain calm. And make the person feel that you understand they are angry. You're not saying don't be angry. You're saying I understand you're angry, but let's talk, let's try and find a solution. But right now, we need to calm down. So let's do some breathing exercises, or maybe you want to punch a pillow, or maybe you want to just take a walk, or whatever. But when you're ready to talk to me, believe me, I'm waiting here.
And that works with young children as well as teenagers. Yes, even with adults, like you say, even with adults. I just want to go quickly through a guideline for dealing with an angry child. But I think really that this also is a guideline for dealing with anybody that's angry, because it can be used with children, teenagers, as well as us as adults. So both my ladies will be just add on if you feel that you need to, inshallah. First and foremost, like we said, you know, anger is an emotion that we need to acknowledge. Take a deep breath, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Try and get a glass of water. Give the person that's angry a glass of water. Let them take a deep breath. Let them make zikr. As young as a small little boy or little girl, if they can, they can make zikr. Tips to avoid. Avoid screaming at the child. Avoid embarrassing the child. Avoid shaming the child or labeling the child. Avoid threatening the child, hitting the child, or hurting the child in any way. Avoid indulging in the child's outbursts. Avoid reinforcing inappropriate behavior by giving into his or her outbursts. What parents should be doing, do accept the child as a valuable human being, accentuate his or her strengths, acknowledge appropriate behavior, provide a safe, respectful environment with clear limits, follow through with meaningful consequences for aggressive acts. If you say that if you're going to do this, this is what I'm going to do, then follow through with it. Because, you know, sometimes we threaten a child and say, this is the punishment I'm going to give you. But if you're not consistent, your child's just going to play you. Your child knows that I can get away with this. May model kindness, fairness, firmness, and consistency. So obviously, if you're going to model a certain behavior, inshallah, your child is going to mirror that behavior. Anticipate angry outbursts and plan activities to reduce them. So they, again, like we said, you know, get them something to do that makes them calm. Vicar, maybe they like drawing, like you said, maybe a sport, you know, contact sport where they can punch a bag or something and release that anger. Teach your child feeling words. Listen and mirror the feelings that he or she expresses. So, I feel angry. I am upset. I am hurt. That's okay if they know that. But then, this is what parents should do. Or teachers, why are you feeling angry? What made you feel this way?
That's such an important, valid
very
point.
Important.
Because we don't have emotional vocabulary.
Yes, we don't have emotional
vocabulary. Ask the child
vocabulary.
How school was. Oh, it was nice.
Oh, fine.
Fine, okay. But that's about it.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Fine.
That's it. But
true.
We need to develop emotional vocabulary.
We have to do emotional vocabulary. And the thing is, more than what your child is saying, how I am feeling, obviously, their body language is telling you how they're feeling. So that's obvious, letting you know this child's not well.
90% of communication happens through nonverbal, so it's so important being in tune with your child. The tone you use when addressing your child, to be calm, like you always say, you know, calmness is important.
Most
calm is
definitely
a superpower. That's what I say.
Of course. Then we say facilitate open communication between the child and others. Help the child to understand that it is okay to feel angry, but never okay to hurt others. So when we're angry, we say nasty things and you will not do this. And often your parents say, you will get out of my house. I am the father or I am the mother. And you know, as long as you live under my roof, you cannot do
my
that.
Rules.
We cannot be doing that. You're just going to be aggravating the situation. Provide a safe place for your child to calm him or herself. We did cover that also. Teach your child ways to cope with angry impulses, like stop and think what you're saying. Use problem-solving skills. Sit alone. Breathe deeply. Exercise. Again, we said dhikr, very, very important. And I think most importantly, make your child feel loved, safe, secure, accepted, recognized, appreciated, and part of the family. Where you're telling the child that it's okay, you're going through this. This is not going to be going on with you forever. I love you. I know, you know, trying to hug a child that's trying to beat you or beat other people can be very difficult, but I would think, you know, just a little bit of physical contact, you know, pat the person on the shoulder, maybe hold their head. If you can, you know, hold their hand. If you're lucky, give them a hug.
No,
because often once when we're very angry, when we're very, 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 very angry, after a while, the tears come out, and we do mellow down, and we do calm down, and that's when I hope being logical and rational kicks in. And ladies, if there's anything you'd like to add to that checklist, or do you think that sort of covers most of the things that parents can
use? The checklist is very good, yes. I agree. Beautifully comprehensive. There's only one thing I would like to add, which I found very useful in our, as a counseling tool.
Please.
If some people do not know how to express themselves to you when you're sitting face-to-face with them, even children sometimes find it difficult to talk to a parent.
Yes.
Ask them to write it down.
Yes.
Write it down, and even if they do not want to share it with you, the fact that they wrote it down, they vented, already helps with making them feel better. Now, if they're very angry, tell them to take that same piece of paper and tear it up into little pieces and throw it away.
Yes.
I found that helps a lot with a lot
That's
of the children.
Excellent, because not everyone is into communicating immediately, and some people do express themselves better by writing. Sister Cicely?
That's actually a brilliant tool to use in therapy and even to use in parenting. And I think, like you said, not many people are good at communicating verbally, so to get them to write that down. And tearing pieces of paper is also extending that anger into the piece of paper, and then, you know, alhamdulillah, destroying those negative emotions. So I think that's also very, very important. Also teaching them to count to 10, especially the little children.
Yes.
And if you do this at grassroots level, inshallah, by the time they get to those difficult teenage years, they've already developed these life skills.
And by the time they reach our age, you count to 100.
Inshallah, by then, you can count to 3 and you're 4.
Ameen.
Inshallah, because by then you've developed the superpower of being calm.
Ameen.
Also talking it out, talking to a trusted person. You know, you as a parent need to be their first point of reference for their, you know, their place of solace where they can come and talk and vent. But sometimes children are so petrified of addressing issues with parents because parents just freak out, literally.
No,
especially mothers, they don't know how to deal with difficult emotions. So I think this is also important, to be calm, to listen to your child. And
communicate with them. Okay, before we round off, I just would like to say that very important, very, very important also, for parents, yes, it does get frustrating. The how-to manual on how to bring up your child is Quran and the Sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you feel that you can't take this anymore, I mean, you know, when you're a parent for life. Whether your child is 35 or 45 or 65, you are still the parent, and you are going to get angry with your child. Your child is going to do things that's going to upset you, but you must also remember that is your child's taqdeer, it's your child's destiny. Understand where your child is coming from. Be reasonable, be rational. But also as a parent, you also get tired, and I would think the best form of therapy for you, firstly, would be turn to Allah. Make wudu, turn to Allah, sit on that musalla. When a parent makes dua for a child, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not accept? When you are sitting on that musalla, you're already in this form where I'm sitting before my Creator. Inshallah, you will be calm. You will understand that this is just a passing phase. I'm going to get through this. And Ya Allah, you grant me the strength, the sabr, the wisdom and the understanding to deal with this problem. And inshallah, I mean, like that, Sister Tiffany, is your first superpower. Your iman, your faith, turning to Allah, and then everything else would come. Then deal with the problem at hand. Firstly, understand that whatever it is that you're facing, that you are faced with, you are faced with because Allah wants you to grow from this opportunity or this challenge that you are facing. And as Sister Rihanna wants to add on?
I think also what is very important is how you as an adult, what has your child seen of you from when they were little as to how you behave when you are angry?
Yes.
So if you are the type of person who screams and performs and things, so you teaching your child, that's exactly what you need to do. Also, I think it's very important when you've been angry at your child and you've been screaming at your child to say, I'm so sorry I behaved that way.
Yes, there's nothing wrong in apologizing
to your
child.
That was not appropriate of me. I'm asking you to forgive me. And that in itself will actually open up such communication between you and your child, because your child will learn to say sorry to you.
Yes. That is
very
so
important.
True. That is such a pertinent point that you brought up. For a parent to say, I'm sorry, doesn't make you any less of a parent. It actually makes you a better
parent.
You're teaching your child
that
it's okay to say, I made a mistake.
That shows strength in you. So that's what your child is learning and developing in himself as well. I think I just want to end off with a beautiful hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the strong is not the one who overcomes the people by his strength, for example, like a wrestler, but the strong is the one who controls himself while in anger. So I think it's very important that controlling anger is one of the characteristics possessed by a true Muslim, and it's something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam displayed so beautifully. I mean, there were times when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also got angry, but for the sake of Allah. And like you said, Iman is our superpower. So just turning back to Allah, instilling this taqwa in our children. Because sometimes mommy and daddy are not going to be there to see you. But Allah is always watching you. So, you know, akhlaq is so important. Developing this characteristics, these beautiful characteristics in our children is so important. And it's all there in the Sharia. So, you know, so to overcome anger in yourself and teach your children to do the same and practice patience, love and self-restraint and lead by example.
Ameen. Beautiful, wise words of wisdom again practiced and modeled by our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sister Rehana?
In closing, I'd just like to say that it's you as a parent who can teach your child lifelong skills. And remember, sometimes you want to be right all the time, or you want a happy environment.
Of course.
Sometimes you have to compromise a little bit about you're right, but you just have to make sure that the environment is happy in your home. There's not tension all the time. So sometimes you have to make sure that your child is happy. Because if your child is unhappy, you're going to be unhappy.
Of course. And also from a young age, like we said, at certain points you do have control in parenting your child. But as your child gets older, you need to trust in yourself that, you know, alhamdulillah, I've given this child a good Islamic foundation, and I'm confident in myself as a parent that my son or daughter is doing the right thing, and first and foremost my son or daughter is doing something that will please Allah first. I think if we have that that in mind, you know, you can deal with the other problems. And inshallah, you know, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know parenting is the hardest job in the world, but the reward for being a parent is Jannah. The reward for being a good parent, every parent is a good parent. Every parent tries his or her best. So again, like we said, when it comes to anger, nothing better than reading A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Acknowledge your child's anger, acknowledge your anger, and inshallah work through it. And again, communication is key. So Jazakum Allah Khairan once again to my guest, Sister Tasneem Dindar and Sister Rehana Adam. Inshallah, I look forward to chatting to you again next week. Please remember us in your du'as. Jazakum Allah Khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.